Greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's good to see each one of you here. If I was to ask you this morning, what is your most valued possession? What would you tell me? I've been blessed to be here, Ray, this morning. Tyler, thank you for your devotions. As you talked, I said, well, it wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but I started to question if he peeked into my notes somehow. I do them on my tablet, so I don't know if you have a way to connect into my tablet or not. But it is good as I sat here and listened to Tyler talk, and it's just a confirmation again, just to see how God ties everything together. Scripture this morning, where the sermon this morning is going to come out of, is out of Mark 8, verse 34 to 38. What is your most valued possession? Mark 8, verse 34. And when he called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I read this number of weeks ago, and as I read it, my mind kept going back to it, and kind of felt like that's what I was going to be speaking on, and started moving that way. And it was interesting, I actually listened to a sermon online, and here it was a sermon somewhat about this. It wasn't totally this, but it was somewhat this way, and actually some of my points actually came out of that. But as you read this text, there's four things that went through my mind. First of all, you have the world and you have your soul. Now, if you're going to trade something, you got to figure out the value. That was the first one. The second one is there's a chance of something being lost and there's a chance of something being gained. So the second was the loss of the soul by the gain of the world. Or the third, how would one save his soul? And then the fourth one isn't necessarily totally here, but you would raise the question, or you would ask yourself the question, so if you were to save your soul, then how would you save your soul? And so the fourth one would be, is how to watch or guard your soul. And I started looking at all this. I said, I'm never going to fit it in today. So we're going to look at the first two of those today, and then you have to come back for the other two later. So, value of the soul. How much is your soul worth? Like I said just earlier, if we were to trade something here in verse 36, if we were to trade our soul for the world, what kind of values are there? How much is the world worth? When we start looking at the values, whether you're going to trade something, you start looking at the pros, you start looking at the cons. I've heard them say already, so you can't make up your mind on something. So, okay, well, you get a tablet and you write all the pros, and then you write all the cons, and now you look at the list, and it tells you what to do. To make a wise decision, you have to calculate the cost. I thought of Scott. He has a truck sitting in the shop, and, I mean, Kevin has a truck. They're both Fords. But if I asked Kevin if he'd trade his truck for the one that's sitting in the shop, I mean, Kevin would probably say, of course not. The value, and it's broke down. You have to calculate if you're going to trade something. So I Googled. Good old Google will tell you what you need to know. I Googled, what is the world worth? According to that, it said it's estimated somewhere around $5 quadrillion. So I said, well, it worked for that. So I Googled, what's your soul worth? When I Googled what the soul was worth, it came up with about $28,000. As I looked a little bit further, you got to be careful on Google because that was a Kia soul. So you got to be careful when you Google to make sure you're Googling for the right thing. But looking at the values and the figures, this a couple weeks ago here, my youngest son was intrigued because it doesn't matter. You keep counting and the numbers just keep going up and they just never quit. And he was so intrigued by that. Well, the value of this world stops somewhere around that figure. Where does the value of your soul stop? It doesn't stop. So the first we're going to look at this morning is, what is your soul and why does it matter? First, what is your soul? Children's Version said this. The Children's Version describes a soul like this. It's something each one of us have. It is inside of us. We can't see it, and it lives forever. Jim Packer said this. Your soul is the identity of who you really are. It is the seat of your memory, your feelings, your imagination, your convictions, your desires, and your affections. Jesus said, your soul has great value. So this morning, we're going to look at four reasons why your soul has great value. If you want to turn with me to Genesis 2, Genesis 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And if you would go to look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 to 48, it talks also of Adam and the creation of Adam. First of all, man was created just like the beasts of the field. If you look in Genesis 2, 19, just down a couple verses, it says, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field. The first stage of man's creation was formed just like the beast of the field. He was formed with the physical elements of the earth. He was created from dust. Now we all know, as Tyler talked this morning, and this is where, when Tyler was talking, he was talking about the artist and how, you know, depends on who the artist is the value of something. And so if we look at the artist and who painted these pictures and the value, now we look at God and who created us. And so look at the value that it creates in us. And then the second part is the last part of Genesis 2, verse 7. It says, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This part of creation was different than any other part of the creation. God breathed into man a soul, a living soul. Our soul is capable of knowing God, enjoying God, sinning against God, something nothing else of the creation can do. We are made in the image of God. So why is our soul so valuable? Your soul is the source of all your achievements. James 2:26 says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Think of every important thing in life. It comes from your soul. If you came in a car today, I think all of you came in a car, unless somebody walked. Somebody imagined how they could speed up the means of transport, and they figured out how to go from a horse to a car. We can imagine, we can picture things. It comes from our soul. Tyler can picture a good floor. He can put together He can come up with a design and come out with a nice looking floor. Kevin builds houses. He can design and build a nice and a safe place to live. Each one of us sitting here imagines, thinks up, and dreams of things. This comes from the soul that God has put inside of us. From your soul is where our desires and achievements in life come from. This sets mankind apart from the rest of creation. Because of this inner being, the soul, God breathed into us. Your soul is important because it comes. Your soul is important because it comes from all comes all decisions in your life. It is what drives you. Your soul is also the cause of sin. James 1:14. But each person is tempted when he is lured in a when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it conceives, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Temptation comes to us through the world, the flesh, and the devil. When it comes, it attaches ourselves to our soul. Picture with me for a little one of these flies. If you have flies around your place and you hang one of these fly traps up and they come and they stick fast, or a sticky trap for a mouse and it comes and it sticks fast. Our hearts are this way towards sin. By nature, they are drawn towards sin. Mark 7, verse 20 to 23, Jesus was talking about what defiles the body. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. In Galatians 5, it goes right alongside of that. In Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that ye are not able to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. When the temptations come, the soul receives it, retains it, welcomes it, embraces it, and holds on to it. Lust, if allowed to attach and stay, becomes self-centered, will turn people into deceivers, liars, and manipulators. Anger, if allowed to stick, can cause destructiveness and cruelty. Jealousy, if allowed to attach, causes bitterness. Hatred can cause broken relations and violence. Dissensions can cause disagreeing, arguing, disputing. And you can go on. I didn't do all of them. I picked out a few of them, but you can go on to the list of them. As they come and they want to stick to our heart, and if we're not careful and we allow them to stay, they will slowly steal your heart, steal your soul. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We must also be on guard that these sins don't attach to our soul and ultimately destroy our most valuable possession. Next one, your soul will last forever and enjoy everlasting joy or enjoy everlasting misery. Turn with me to Luke 16, verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy good time receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, there is between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from hence, to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The poor man in those times, likely, if he did have a burial, if he did even have any type of remembrance, it was unlikely. Nobody misses him. But look in verse 22. It says, and it came to pass the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. While his body went from dust to dust, yet the angels carried him, his soul, into Abraham's bosom. Jesus made it clear. Also, along with scripture like Matthew 10:28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. And while the body returns to the ground, the soul lives on. Jesus made it clear that there is eternity either in glory or in hell. The soul never dies. Now, and especially in this time, and you probably, especially at the times we're going through right now, we've heard it. People say you ought to invest in gold, you ought to invest in silver, you ought to invest in precious metal. It's, you know, that way it's secure, it's safe. And while it may be safer, it still does not last forever. If you buy a new car, you say, well, I got a nice car, and yet in time the value drops. All things on this earth will come to pass. All things will end, except for one thing, is your soul. Remember, as a boy, we had a old train bed that ran through our property, and there was no longer train tracks. It had been a long time, been discontinued, wasn't used, and suddenly one day we found out that there was somebody coming through, and they wanted to buy the right-of-ways. They wanted to make a dirt bike track that came across through all these different properties, and it was supposed to be, the deal was that after so many years, it would automatically just go back to the landowner, and so it should have rightfully been gone back, and it shouldn't have been even a possibility. And yet, he was going around, he was starting to buy these properties, and we talked to an attorney, and he said, you'll win it in court, but he said, your best bet is just to buy the property back. And so, even though it was already rightfully ours, I remember my dad, he went and he bought the one piece of property, that way it just took care of it, so where they couldn't do anything with it. We're God's. God created us. And yet, he sent Jesus and bought us back. Your soul was so valuable to him. The soul can be saved. The soul can be lost. To be lost would be the ultimate disaster. It is the only disaster or loss from which we could never recover. Why is it so valuable? First of all, it was created by God. It was made in His image. It was created to imagine, to dream, and to bring glory to God. And then it was breathed into by God by the breath of life and given a soul that would never die. So then we would ask the question, so how would one lose his soul? In Luke 12, verse 19 to 21, it is about the man that had laid up many things. It says, And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So it is that he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We can starve our souls. This man had everything. He worked hard, had his investments all laid in place. He was ready to relax, to party, to do whatever he wanted with no worries. Sounds like the American dream. But he starved his soul. Verse 21 says, so it is who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Your soul can be lost by simply neglecting it. We don't have to work to lose our soul. Sin wants to come and wants to attach itself. We have to be on guard. All we have to do is neglect it. You can strangle your soul. In Mark 4, verse 19, this is about the parable with the sowers. The sower went out to sow the seed. And it says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choked the word, and it became unfruitful. Many of us find ourselves busy. So many things to do, places to go, things to get done, even sometimes lots of good things. And they begin to crowd out and wrap around us. If we are not careful and fail to care for our soul, it becomes choked out. We must take time to look out for our soul if we don't want ultimate loss. And the third one I have for how one could lose their soul is by surrendering your soul. Surrendering it to sinful desires. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. If you picture for a second what war looks like, sin is waging war, it's trying to win. The works of the flesh want to come. They want to stick. They will wage war against your soul. When we allow them to stick, when we allow them to stay, we raise the flag of surrender to the things at war against our soul. Let us protect our soul. We need to guard it with all diligence. It is our greatest possession. If it were lost, it would be the greatest loss possible. What are you doing today to protect your soul? What am I doing to protect my soul? Am I starving it? Am I allowing it to become strangled? Am I surrendering it? Or am I feeding my soul? Again, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, it says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. A quote from Bishop Ryle said this: The first step toward heaven is for a person to realize the worth of their own soul. Again, the first step toward heaven is for a person to realize the worth of their own soul. So as we go through life, may we be constantly looking out, feeding for our soul, watching, standing on guard. It's your most important possession. It's the most valuable thing that we have. The worth of the soul. There's no figure. The figures keep going. There's no figure big enough to describe how much our soul is worth. So as we go from here, may we think often of the value of our soul. Let it sink into our heart and let it control our desires, our decisions, our imaginations, and may we glorify God through what we do. Does someone have a closing song? Reuben. Yeah, 383 in the Faith and Praise. All right, when you have that, you can stand and we'll be dismissed. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for your wonderful creation, and we thank you for breathing into us the breath of life, giving each one of us a soul. And God, as we go through life, help us to ever be on guard, to watch, to surrender our lives totally to you and allow you to guide and direct our lives. And God, as we go from here, I pray that you would just direct the path of each one of us. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.